On this episode of Acoustic Tuesday, we're going to take your flat picking to a whole new speed. I'm talking light speed here, and you're not even going to need your guitar. I personally just found Blind Joe Death, and I'm going to tell you all about it. And we're going to take the train to Accessory Town. All that and more right after this. If you believe that playing acoustic guitar is about sharing the joy of music with friends and family, not just mastering the technical side of playing, then this show is your dream come true. Every Tuesday morning, I give you my list of exciting guitar geek discoveries, gear, and new music so you can stay inspired to live your best acoustic life. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 9. I can't believe we're here on the doorstep of double digits. I'm pumped, and I'm even more pumped because I'm joined by none other than Levi Kuila, the man with a technical plan, and of course, Sir Noah Jacob Heckman
Hello,
Jr.,
Noah.
The first.
Levi.
Hi, guys.
Hello,
it's
Tony.
Good to see you. I will explain why I'm speaking at such a rapid pace a little further on down the line. But as with all Acoustic Tuesdays, I'm going to dive into my list of acoustic guitar geekiness. But before I even get into my list today, I have a trivia question for you. One that I found online from Reverb. Reverb.com, that is. And I just loved the question so much, I thought, you know what? I'm gonna use the question here because it's a great question. I think it's a fantastic piece of trivia. So, without further ado, here is your multiple choice trivia question for the day. This company produced more instruments in the 1960s than any other company. Your choices are as follows. A. Fender, B. Gibson, C. Martin, D. Ibanez, E. Harmony, or F. Dan Electro. And of course, again, the question, this company produced more instruments in the 1960s than any other company. Go ahead and ponder that while I dive into my list of acoustic guitar geekiness. But first, I have another but first. I want to check the mailbag because we've been receiving some mail here at Tony's Acoustic Challenge Studios, and the bounties are great. Let me start out with I'll save that one for a second. First, I finally subscribed to the Fretboard Journal. Now, I've been reading the Fretboard Journal all along, and I've always bought it at a bookstore because I like it to be nice and neat, and I had always feared that, gosh, if I order the Fretboard Journal through mail, it's going to arrive all beat up, and I'm just not into that. I like nice, neat magazines. So I bit the bullet, I subscribed, and this is what it came in, a box. So my fears were unfounded. It arrives neat and tidy and crisp and clean. The new issue's awesome. It looks stellar. The photos are awesome as usual. I just wanted to share that with you guys because it's something that held me up from subscribing, and now I have that fear no more. Second item in the mailbag. I want to take a second and thank TAC member and Acoustic Tuesday viewer Susan A. for sending us this. Actually, it was addressed to Noah. But I just went ahead and put it in my mail compartment.
Oh, nice.
This
okay.
is a gift from Susan. I'll show you what you received, Noah.
Okay, thank you, Tony.
This is, she sent you, us,
oh.
some homemade pickles.
Ooh.
Which we appreciate.
In a mason jar.
And some Tomcat gin. Ooh. Bar Hill Reserve Tomcat gin. She says, well, here you are as promised. Tomcat gin. Looks like scotch, smells like gin, finishes sweet and oaky. Enjoy, Susan A. So thank you, Susan A. Appreciate that. I went ahead and, again, confiscated Noah's mail. So hopefully you're okay with that, Noah.
Totally fine.
You seem fine. So let's dive into the acoustic guitar list, shall we? Again, thank you for the gin and the pickles, Susan. We very much appreciate that. My acoustic guitar list item starts with item number 5, and it's actually a pedal board. The Pedal Train Nano pedal board. You're thinking, okay, Tone, this is an acoustic guitar centric show for acoustic guitar geeks. Why in the hell are you featuring a pedal board? Well, as an acoustic guitarist, I don't have a lot of pedals. I have a tuner, I have a DI, sometimes two DIs, depends on what instrument I have. So I don't have a lot of pedals, but the Pedal Train Nano pedal board is just small enough to fit those pedals and make it nice and neat and tidy. It's built like a tank, and lo and behold, right next to the mailbag, I actually have my Pedal Train Nano pedal board. It comes in a really cool soft case with optional straps that strap onto your gig bag. They've since revamped this. This is about, gosh, I probably got this about 3 years ago. They've since revamped the look. It's the same awesome pedal board. Let me just give you a glimpse as to what mine looks like so you can see it. This is my one spot 9-volt power supply. But I have on my Nano pedal board, it's a nice, just kind of chunky metal pedal board. It's light, it's not like crazy heavy. It comes with Velcro. I have a tuner, my Fishman Aura for my Dobro, and a Radial Pro DI. This is my Dobro pedal board. So it fits three pedals comfortably. If they're of moderate size, you can maybe squeeze another one in there if they're smaller, but I just wanted to share this with you guitar geeks because it's nice to show up to wherever you're playing, open mic, gig, maybe a friend's jam or something if you guys are plugging in, and have your pedals neatly arranged. You don't have to pull them out one by one and connect them. They stay connected and they're easy to carry around. So that's the Nano, the Pedal Train Nano pedal board. I think I paid around $70 for it, or it was maybe a little bit more. There's a price link in the description. You can check it out. It's got some further details and such. So, of course, we're counting down from five, which brings me to item number four. And this happens to be a capo. Now, I've reviewed capos before, and generally the reviews I've done thus far have been capos that are around $50 and under. Love the Shub, love the Kaiser, the Planet Waves NS Lite capo, love all those capos. But the capo I want to feature today is the Elliott capo, specifically the Elliott McKinney capo. We're talking upper echelon of capos here. We're talking the absolute peak of awesomeness in accessories. And the Elliott capo is, they're made here in the US. It's a machined stainless steel. They're machined absolutely beautifully and precisely. They function like a Swiss watch. Those function smoothly, right? I'm not a watch guy. Swiss watch?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
They're gorgeous to look at. They're absolutely, they work flawlessly. They're solid and they just, they feel strong. I don't know how else to describe them. Currently, they're offering a satin finish as well, which looks incredible. When I got mine, I got it in the polished kind of gloss finish, if you will. And I got mine because I found it on David Greer's equipment list. David Greer is an amazing flat picker, and I thought, well, gosh, if I get this this capo, I will just by magic of putting this capo on my guitar, automatically play like David Greer. Now that didn't happen, so quick disclaimer there, but all the bluegrass greats, I'm talking Brian Sutton, Tony Rice, David Greer, every bluegrass guitar player that can pick circles around a tornado has an Elliott capo, and they have it for a reason. They're built wonderfully, and there's a really cool video that Scott Elliott of Elliott Capos put together that explains the very capo that I'm talking about, the Elliott McKinney capo. So we're going to have a look at that right now.
Scott with Elliott Capos. We're going to talk now about the Elliott McKinney. The McKinney-style capo has been around for many years, has been through lots of different hands. We became the only authorized manufacturer of the McKinney capo back in 2005 when we became partners with Tom McKinney. The basic design has not changed. The thing that has changed is we did start contouring it a while back, and that is more like the Elliott push-button capo. The saddle is the McKinney style saddle. It has a stinger going down through a guide on the frame right here. That's what keeps the saddle centered over your instrument. The latch, the original style latch, open it up with the bell, has a cradle down inside of the frame right there, and the top bar just closes down into that, and then the latch closes up over the top of it. As you see, it is obviously available in a polished finish. It is also available in satin. Just pick which finish you want from down below. 16-inch radius is standard on all of our capos. If yours is something different, put that in the comments section down below so we can make sure and accommodate your neck radius.
All right, so that was Scott from Elliott Capos explaining the Elliott McKinney capo. Now, that's just one of the many capos that they offer. As he discussed in that video, there's custom options that you can have, specific radiuses for your fingerboard, specific neck profiles, nut widths, you name it, they've got you covered, and it's made very well. Now, I will say this, Elliott capos are not cheap, but they're made to exacting specifications. So I think they're worth every penny. Some people scoff at $140, $120 capo. I took the plunge and I am still very, very happy with it. The pad that covers the strings is replaceable. So as long as you don't lose the darn thing, it'll last you a lifetime. And you can even pass that one down because it's made that well. So that's item number four, which we should keep counting down to item number three. I've got a bunch of stuff left. We've got to discuss some small wins. wins, but let me do item number three first,
because this is please
one.
Do.
This is one that I felt like almost a super sleuth here. I finally found blind Joe Death. I found him in Portland, Oregon. Now, for those of you who don't know who Blind Joe Death is, Blind Joe Death is the name character that John Fahey sometimes played music under, issued music under. Now, John Fahey, unfortunately, is no longer with us. He passed away in 2001, but let me explain how I found Blind Joe Death. So I was in Portland some years ago, and I was in a record store. It was in a neighborhood. I can't recall the name of it, but the artwork on the building was gorgeous, and it just screamed record store, a cool local record store. So of course I had to go in. Went in and found the John Fahey bin, got all the records out of it, basically brought them to the checkout guy there. And behind him, there was a box set called The Transcendental Waterfall, which was John Fahey's first four or five studio albums on Tacoma Records, the label that he started. And I thought, you know what, I have to have that. He said, now there's going to be duplicates in here. I said, no, I want it all. So the box set's wonderful. It's something that I've been digging into this week. It has, again, those first four or five studio albums. It comes with a T-shirt, extended liner notes, picture. I mean, it's very much worth it, especially if you're a vinyl lover, especially if you're a John Fahey lover. But I'll even one-up you on that. So in talking to the store clerk there at the record store, he said that John Fahey actually used to come into that very record store and talk to people about his records and encourage them to buy them, which was a cool kind of John Fahey myth. I felt very connected. And upon returning from Portland, maybe a year or so later, I found a movie. It's called In Search of Blind Joe Death. Now, let me set the scene up for you. This is what happens when you're a guitar geek, and in my case, my girlfriend, we sit down and watch a movie on a Friday, Saturday night, and she says, what do you want to watch? And I said, I got this great movie. It's called In Search of Blind Joe Death. She then retorts, I don't want to watch another horror movie. I said, no, this is better. This is a guitar player documentary. And this movie is absolutely beautifully shot. You will be amazed at the guitar players interviewed in this movie that John Fahey has impacted. Now, this is the scope of John Fahey's life. It's a John Fahey documentary, as much into his musical life as it is into his personal life. And he was certainly eccentric, an artist through and through. And I actually have a clip from the director / producer here that I want you to gain a little insight into the film. So we'll share that with you right here.
I'm James Cullingham. I'm the director and producer of In Search of Blind Joe Death, the saga of John Fahey. My company is Tamarack Productions, and I come from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. My film is about an amazing American musician, a composer, a great guitar player, a wonderful writer, and an all-around iconoclast and provocateur named John Fahey. He is best known as the inventor of something called American primitive guitar. I think his contribution, among others, was that he took what he considered to be the classical music of America, Delta blues, New Orleans jazz, and he reinterpreted it as a solo steel string guitar music. In the last 5 to 10 years of his career came the biggest surprise when he picked up an electric guitar. And he started playing with people like Sonic Youth and Cul-de-Sac in Boston. I was rather surprised in 2009, given that he died in 2001, that there wasn't, no one's made a film about Fahey yet. He's kind of like a guitar player. So there's a lot of goodwill towards trying to make a film about this extraordinary individual. London's own Pete Townsend, who's in the film, and heard Fahey's guitar playing as The Who was starting out, basically. And it may seem odd, you know, the guy who was the loudest electric guitar player in the world probably at that moment, inspired by this guy who was simply playing acoustic steel string guitar, but Pete Townsend.
All right, so your appetite is sufficiently whetted for this movie, again, In Search of Blind Joe Death. Now, I've talked about it. You've heard the director talk about it. Let's actually look at a clip from the movie. So here is the official trailer for In Search of Blind Joe Death.
Scott with Elliot Capos. We're going to talk now about the Elliot McKinney. The McKinney...
Thank you.
I think of myself as a classical guitar player, but I'm categorized as a folk musician.
You've got a real John Fahey mystique, whereas behind that mystique there was a real human being.
The way he treated the guitar as though the guitar was an orchestra almost.
It's been said of John Fahey that his style is American primitive. And what would you call your style?
That's the closest thing, I wouldn't worry about calling it anything.
Okay.
He seemed to me the kind of folk guitar playing equivalent to sort of William Burroughs or Bukowski, Charles Bukowski.
Guy was like truly punk rock and or whatever you want to call it, his own artist. And I think that's really the core of it. It's just art for art's sake on so many levels.
You know, he had a real edge to him. I think that's why I liked him.
All right, so I strongly recommend this movie. I can't remember exactly where I either rented it on iTunes or streamed it via Amazon, but it's one that I would even purchase as well for my own kind of guitar geek collection, if you will. I don't think it's on Netflix, but you can certainly check. There's more links to it in the description below if you want to check it out further. Now, I've got two more items on my guitar geek list today. I want to play darts with Noah, begrudgingly. And I have your trivia question answer. But first, I want to do a little bit of celebrating, Noah. I think we should take a second and celebrate some small wins. So, shall we?
I'm ready. All right. Quick shout out to small wins today from John, Gary, Andrew, and Michael. Awesome. John says, about 2 weeks ago, my wife suddenly became interested in playing the guitar. I quickly pulled out my Seagull SWS folk guitar for her, and she's been playing for a few minutes every day. Now he can leave his guitars out and they can play together.
That's a stellar win. A little family guitar action. Stellar.
Love it. And he says, I love Acoustic Tuesdays. It's fun and informative. 30 minutes that I look forward to every week.
Fantastic. Thanks for watching.
Gary says, I stopped to help. Oh, this one is one of my favorites to date. Gary says, his small win was, I stopped to help someone who got stuck in the mud and ended up finding someone to jam with. That's awesome.
That's very serendipitous. I like that. I like that a lot.
Andrew, his small win. This past May, I took my first plane trip and saw Bob Dylan in London.
Oh my God.
That's kind of a big win.
That's a huge win. That sounds fun.
And last small win for today, Michael says, I am now a bourbon drinker.
Ugh.
Thanks to the dartboard challenge, I challenged myself to try something new and picked up a bottle of Woodford Reserve Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Happy to report it goes down nice while watching Acoustic Tuesday. Great show, gents. And Tony, you are a fantastic teacher. Would love to see you play one complete tune sometime. Cheers from Canada.
Awesome. Well, thanks for watching, and we'll put that. Both Levi and Noah have been bothering me to play a little bit. So we'll see if we can't work that in. You know, we are turning double digits next week.
Right.
Ooh, this is Acoustic Tuesday 9. Next week is 10. And I'm kind of like, this is a big moment. This is exciting. So if you have a small win that you would love to be featured here on the Acoustic Tuesday show, please leave it in the comments below. All you have to do so that Noah sees it and myself is put a hashtag small win. And then go ahead and type in your small win. It could be going to a concert. It could be finally dusting off your guitar after years of it sitting under the bed. It could be changing your strings. It could be any old thing guitar related. Or in this case, we've got a new bourbon drinker in the ranks. So that also qualifies as a small win. So make sure to leave those in the comments below. And Noah, I think we should dive right back into my guitar geek list.
Let's do it.
Which involves, we're actually, all three of us are in on this next particular item here. This is item number 2. How do you flat pick so darn fast? Well, in the mailbag, in the Tony's Acoustic Challenge Studios mailbag, I received this box just, was it yesterday? No, it was before. It was last week. Anyways, it sat here over the weekend, and upon opening it this week, I finally found out how to make your flat picking faster without even holding your guitar. And it comes from Coffee Fool's Flat Pickers Fuel Coffee. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I scoured the internet because I wanted to feature something that was guitar-related but not quite guitar-related, and this is the coolest thing I could find. It's a coffee. It's literally a coffee. Entitled Flat Pickers Fuel. It's made by a company, Coffee Fuel. They're down in Utah. I ordered this. It shipped fast. It shipped safe. It was just sent USPS. And I've included a link so you can enjoy yourself some Flat Pickers Fuel in the description below. Now, this coffee was made in conjunction, or rather labeled in conjunction, with Brad Davis, who's a phenomenal flat picker. When he was recording an album of his, he got together with Coffee Fool. They created Flat Pickers Fuel, and I gotta tell you, it certainly has accelerated my speech for the day, so I can't even imagine what's gonna happen when I hold a guitar. I really can't.
Or when you throw a dart.
That's very true.
It's a good segue, Noah. Way to keep us on track. I got props to Noah for not only currently kicking my butt, but cueing the dart battle that is raging.
Yes, hard.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, Noah, so we got to play darts. This is the dart battle. This is the second iteration of the dart battle. Now, Noah, can you please explain how the dart battle works? Maybe give everybody an update on the score.
Absolutely. So currently, Tony, you stand at a 6,
mm-hmm.
and I'm at 50.
Cool. That's
and,
neat.
And here's how it works.
Okay.
You are a bourbon guy. I'm a scotch guy. If you win, I have to buy a bottle of bourbon for you for us to share.
Mm-hmm.
If I win, you have to buy a bottle of scotch for me for us to share and sip together.
Correct. Now, this is the last round.
It is.
So, depending upon my miraculous comeback,
mm-hmm.
You'll have to start thinking of which bourbon you're going to purchase me. So, with the rules being stated, with the dart battle ready to wage on, I think we should just go ahead and let's play some darts.
Noah, the dart cam is on. Go ahead, take your shot.
What is that?
Ooh. Is that a 17?
17. I am actually, I believe, mathematically eliminated. But I'm going to try anyways.
Okay.
Okay.
I can at least try and get close.
The dart cam is on. Take your shot. Triple 20. Triple 20. Oh! Is that a 20?
No, it's a 5.
Five?
It's a 5.
Okay, that puts us final score is Tony at 11, and I'm at a 67, which we discussed, if you landed a triple 20,
yeah.
which was the highest you could land,
yeah.
I would have beaten you by one.
I know. So, yeah. And I just wanted to close the margin there, but you know, I was close. I was aiming for a triple 20, so that's not too bad.
All right, so what does that mean? So next week?
So next week, Noah, would you like to explain, or should I, since I've lost? What?
Yeah, please. I was going to say have fun shopping.
Oh, yeah. So next week, you'll get to follow me on my shopping adventure where I go into uncharted territory for me, the scotch section at the Montana Spirits and Liquor, which is just down the road, thank goodness. And I'm gonna purchase a bottle of scotch for Noah, which brings me to my next point, actually. I want to know what I should get, Noah, because I don't know much about scotch. I want to surprise Noah and get him a scotch that he would like, but that maybe he hasn't heard of. So please, in the comments below, let me know what I should purchase, Noah. And I also want to know what you thought of the show today. Now, it's not over, but I want to know what you thought of the show thus far. So please, in the comments below, let me know a new discovery that you made, maybe a discovery that you'd like to share as well, or you can just stop in and say hi. We love hearing from you guys, and gals, that is. So, Noah. And of course, small wins. Please leave those in the comments below. Now, I've gotten a lot of flack for my shirt today.
Have you?
Well, from the two of you, and it's orange because Halloween is right around the corner. And I was thinking about going as a wizard this Halloween, but I'm not quite sure. But that actually is related to my next point, which is guitar geek item number one. The Fretboard Wizard Program. This is a program that I want you to be aware of. This is a program that I think will make a huge difference in your guitar journey, catapulting you into the next level, if you will. Now, the Fretboard Wizard program is a program that opens up twice a year. It's open to Tony's Acoustic Challenge members and non-Tony's Acoustic Challenge members, and it is a theory program. Now, I know it sounds weird to say, gosh, theory can be fun, but really, truly, theory is fun. Fretboard Wizard is a program that takes essentially the 20% of absolute necessary music theory, sets that aside from all the other cloudy stuff, and puts it in a very digestible fashion so that you can actually apply it to your guitar and, more importantly, the real world. So you can gain more comfort jamming, so you can gain more comfort playing with others and kind of speaking the language, if you will. Now, prior to Fretboard Wizard, the program opening up for enrollment, again, it only opens up twice a year, there's a free workshop series that's called Guitar Theory for Everybody, and it goes over what I call the foundational five. These are the core elements that all music theory is built on. We discuss the musical alphabet, how to construct a major scale, connecting that major scale to chords and the chord matrix, going ahead and looking into what makes a chord major and minor and how you can actually manipulate that, further going into the cage system of navigation, and ultimately tying it all up with a kind of the universal rules summary. This is a free workshop series, and I want to make this available to everybody. So there's a link in the description below. If you want to just check out this free workshop series, please do so. I think it will make a huge boost in your confidence and your approach towards music theory. And I think that you'll start to begin to make some connections that you otherwise wouldn't make. This is something that has helped a ton of people already, and I say this without any exaggeration. I've gotten some wonderful feedback from the program, itself, but even from this video series, which again, it's necessary information and a foundation that I want all guitar geeks to have. I ultimately want guitar geeks to know that, you know what, music theory doesn't have to be this pile of books and this like mad scientist approach. It's actually fun. And if you have your guitar in hand and start applying it right away, the lessons cement in your brain very quickly. At least they did for me. So actually Larry S. from Pagosa Springs, Colorado, actually sent us a video about his reaction to the Fretboard Wizard program and what it did for him. So we're gonna go ahead and let you have a look at that right now.
Hey, Tony. Hey, this is Larry Smith over in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. Heck yeah, I'm going to take that class again. It was really good. I just picked up guitar last February. I have no musical training whatsoever. I'm 62 years old, and it really helped me get a handle on both the theory behind guitar music, but also how to find everything on a keyboard. And now when I go talk to my buddies or go play with my buddies, I can understand what they're talking about, which before it was all Greek to me and was getting kind of discouraging, but now I get it. So anyway, thanks for all that help, and I'll see you in the next class. Bye.
So I want to thank Larry for sending in that video, but also I just want to invite you guys to the free workshop series. I think it's something that really will enlighten you and maybe even break down that wall that separates at least it separated me from music theory for a very long time because I didn't want to dive into it. I took a theory class in college and it just scared the hell out of me. it seemed like a big mountain that I was never going to be able to climb, but this workshop series really lays it out in a nice, easy to digest fashion. It comes with a workbook and everything, so again, it's something that I strongly encourage you, whether you're just beginning guitar or whether you've played for a long time. I think there's connections to be made and always new lessons to be learned. So please check that out. Again, the link is in the description below, as is the link for everything I've spoken about today on Acoustic Tuesday, Episode 9. We're talking the Pedal Train Nano Pedal Board, the Elliott Capos, both the box set for the Transcendental Waterfall, the box set of John Fahey and that movie In Search of Blind Joe Death, the Flat Pickers Fuel Coffee, and of course the Fretboard Wizard Guitar Theory for Everybody video series. Now, we're not quite done here. We're right at the tail end of Acoustic Tuesday, but I still have to share with you your quiz answer and, of course, give you a sneak peek into next week. So let me just reiterate the trivia question that started the show. The trivia question was multiple choice, and it was this. This company produced more instruments in the 1960s than any other company. Your choices were A, Fender, B, Gibson, C, Martin, D, Ibanez, E, Harmony, or F, Dan Electro. And the answer was E, Harmony. harmony guitars, which we were talking about this just before flipping on the cameras today. Actually, Levi's first guitar was a harmony, and I think a lot of people's first guitar was a harmony. And I think the reason that Harmony sold so many guitars in the 60s was that, you know, the folk boom was happening. Everybody wanted to play acoustic guitars, and harmonies were very inexpensive guitars that had a certain look and cool vibe to them. So it was harmony. So pretty cool factoid for you. Now let's look forward. Let's strap on our future goggles, if those are a thing. And let's look at and see what's going to happen next week on Acoustic Tuesday. Next week I have for you a new take on guitar strings, something that I need you to be aware of, and something that really surprised me. I also have an acoustic album that I want to share with you that is literally on fire. It's a blaze, no joke. And I want you to know about a nonprofit, a guitar-oriented organization that really focuses on the healing power of music, something that I think we all can recognize and resonate with. This is an organization that you need to be aware of. So next week on Acoustic Tuesday, it's going to be incredible. I hope you enjoyed this week's Acoustic Tuesday. Episode 9 is in the books. I want to thank you so much for sharing your time with us here today. Thank you for to Noah for humbling me in my dart-ness. And thank Anytime. You for Levi's hitting of all the right buttons and showing of all the right things. From all of us here at TAC Studios, thank you so much, and have a great guitar-infused week. And of course, we'll see you next week on Acoustic Tuesday. Cheers.